Right. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for coming and staying towards the end of the day. I'm going to talk about using free software in commercial environments, so businesses, that sort of thing. I am a free software consultant, and we work a lot with free software in commercial organizations, government departments, and so on. So I'm going to be talking, actually having a look at why in the UK Linux adoption isn't as far ahead as it is in other countries in Europe, and have a look at some places where Linux already is, and example of some of the things that we've been doing with Linux, and about reasons to present to your boss or whoever makes the decisions that actually they ought to be considering Linux a lot more seriously than most people are and get ahead of the competition. So just a little bit about myself. I am a free software developer. I have been using Linux for quite a while, and I'm a Debian developer. Anyone heard of Debian here? And another small program called OpenOffice and a few other projects like that. My commercial background is I started off as a software developer and now with Creditive, we basically provide services to people who are wanting to use free software and help them to make the most use of free software. Not by selling some product or other that's built on free software, we like to relabel or something. It's actually, we are independent. We'll actually help people find the best way to make use of free software. So Creditive itself, we provide support and services. The support is the main thing that we do. We run the Open Source Support Center. We've got guys who are sitting around the clock on the end of the phone, able to help organizations who've put free software in mission critical places, and there are an awful lot of them. And we have offices in the UK, which I run, and Germany as well. We have quite a lot of Debian developers. There's a few around here. And we're involved in a lot of open source projects as well. There's just a few, Postgres, GNOME, KG, OpenOffice, and a whole load more. So we are really into not just taking open source software and using it with our customers. We are also into giving it back, giving the work that we have done and the improvements that we've made back into the community. So we're active in a lot of places. We're also a member of the Open Source Consortium. I just wanted to mention that since we're in the UK. This is a group of open source companies who work together in promoting free software and also in being a larger consortium where we have a larger voice than just the individual companies. So the consortium also does campaigning as well. So adding the commercial view to free software debate. So where, for example, the BBC recently in England has said, well, we're going to provide you video streaming, but to start with, it's only going to be available on Windows, and it'll take us, we'll commit to providing free formats, but well, not in the first couple of years. And we're actually in a position with the consortium to say, from a commercial point of view, hey, our businesses will be losing money if you do this, because by people only being able to use Windows to view video from the BBC, if they're thinking, well, I'm going to buy a new computer, but I want to be able to view video, then they're going to be thinking twice about free software if there's no streaming available. So the Open Source Consortium is able to provide a commercial argument as well, which in certain political circles is useful. It's not just single free software developers, which people might see as being individuals sitting in their bedroom at night. We're actually a commercial business, and we are being affected by these sorts of decisions. We're also a member of the Linux-Verband, which is a similar sort of organization in Germany. So, Linux in the UK. Now, I am in the position of talking to companies about Linux and saying, hey, how about using Linux in your server room and so on? And a lot of people that I talk to are just like, Linux, now I think I've heard of it, but not really aware of what it can do for their companies. One of the things that seems to be significant is the lack of the support in the public sector. Now, our next speaker, Patrick, will be talking more about that. But it does seem to be... lost my thread. Does seem to be important in terms of if large areas of government are using a particular technology, then that will filter through to commercial organisations as well. Now, Linux is being used in dark corners in organisations a lot. It's just at the moment the people further up the management chain aren't really aware of it so much. Another thing is the purchasing methods. I'm seeing a lot, for example, about certification and so on. For schools as well, there are bodies saying to be eligible for software to be used in schools, they must pass a series of tests and certification, where this is fine for companies that are actually targeting the UK market, and that's just another thing that they have to do, is to make sure that all of the right boxes are checked. But that doesn't help you if you're trying to adopt an open source project, which has maybe got thousands and thousands of users around the world, but it doesn't tick the right boxes. So these sorts of things, they're maybe not deliberately put in the way to stop open source adoption, but it does make it a lot harder in the UK. So other countries, for example, Germany and Spain, are a lot further, where the government has actually taken a lead as well. And in Germany in particular, we saw Linux adoption become much more widespread earlier than in the UK. So if you compare the two countries, it's as if the UK is a few years behind. So the cycle would start with organizations secretly saying, oh, well, we can use it in a particular area of our server room or whatever, or maybe just the IT guys installed a Linux server without anybody else knowing. And then the managers are realizing, okay, this is becoming a part of our critical infrastructure. We better make sure that it's supported and so on, which is where they got in contact with companies like Creditive. And then later on, they'll actually... as Linux becomes more and more popular, they'll eventually say, okay, we're using Linux here. So we've got quite a few companies that are not willing to say that they are using Linux, but they are actually using it in their data servers and are running mission-critical software on it. So in Germany, there is a lot of use of Linux in the public sector. The German Parliament, for example, was quite a well-known project. And the Foreign Office, for example, we've recently migrated a whole load of desktops in the central Foreign Office to Debian desktops. So we're even getting adoption in the desktop area as well. City of Munich is another very high profile project as well. So where can you find Linux in the UK already? One of the places where you're likely to find it is in server infrastructure of companies. So web servers, databases, files, and mail server. Now, the web server is interesting in that it's quite often companies are outsourcing their websites to companies that are running Linux without even realizing it. So Apache's been around since 1995, and it's got a very large market segment as well. So chances are that your organization is actually using Apache and using free software. So even though people might not know a great deal about it, they're actually using it all over the place. Database is another one. We do a lot of database consulting, helping people make the best use of Postgres. Postgres is fine in a huge number of cases. Unless you're running absolutely massive databases, you're unlikely to be running into limitations of the Postgres database itself. So most people who are running databases could consider it, and there are huge cost savings to be gained from it. We talked to somebody who needed 5 Oracle instances just to be able to run one of their databases, and it was costing them over £100,000 per year. And you can go to Postgres, and the actual purchasing costs and licensing costs go to zero. All you have to worry about is support. And Postgres is very high performance and is able to run very demanding applications in terms of making sure that you have transactional integrity as well. Here are some examples of email services that you might find running in server rooms. Sendmail, very popular. In fact, between them, Sendmail and Postfix, those are the most popular mail servers on the internet. They don't have quite such a big market share as Apache, but it's still larger than the individual commercial servers. Anti-spam, antivirus filters are very important as well. And of course, when you're running them on a Linux machine, you don't have to worry about your server being affected by viruses. Now, the actual mail scanning, this is one thing that we as a company have done, is to put together a system that is made up of virus scanning, spam scanning, and a firewall. And this is one of the things that you can do with free software. You can take individual components, put them together to make something a lot more powerful than you could get just with the individual components, but something that will also scale to large systems as well. The security filter that we have, we're using a lot of different technologies. The mail server, and then we're using high availability to make sure that the actual outside SMTP server is always available. And then we're actually doing the scanning on separate machines as well. And also doing blacklists as well. So this is scalable from a large number of machines. And it's also not limited just to Linux. It will run on any operating system where the software is available. And it's all based around free software. And that means that we are using it and also contributing back to those projects where we're finding scalability issues and so on in the software. So going from that system of several components, we've also added another layer, which is to create a complete cluster as well. Now, these two projects as well, everyone will have heard of, and even though Linux on the desktop isn't so widespread yet, certainly these two projects have pushed free software into, millions of installed installed systems. So these two are names which people have heard of and are using on their desktops. So we're definitely getting there. And it's fairly easy to point out to somebody, actually, you are using free software. And maybe you should think about using it more and more in the commercial environment as well. So why might people want to adopt Linux and free software in a commercial enterprise? You have financial savings. Now, this will depend a lot on your particular needs and requirements. There's been a lot of debate about total cost of ownership. You can skew the figures any way you want, really, depending on what particular configuration you decide to pick. But there's certainly, with the database example I gave you, there are a lot of cases where you are clearly saving a lot of money. Stability as well is pretty important if you're running things like banking software, or you are dealing with high transaction volumes. And also, if you care about being able to use your software the whole time and not have to suddenly find that your IT department says, well, everything's gone down for an hour, go for lunch. Security as well is important. It's a lot harder to get into Linux, FreeBSD, and other free operating systems built on Unix, because they're actually built to be secure from the ground up. And of course, flexibility. This is that you are able to either pick and choose individual components from those that are available, or if there's something that you want to do that nobody else has done, you can take something that exists and extend it, or you can start your own as well. Now, not everyone is able to start their own project, but there are plenty of people, talk to the Open Source Consortium, who are able to do that for you. So we're here at the Debian conference, but I just wanted to talk about Debian from a point of view of if you are a commercial organization, how should you be thinking of Debian? These are reasons to adopt Debian in your organization. It's a project that's run by volunteers. That means that anyone can get involved. And so if you are making use of a lot of Debian, for example, then there's nothing to stop you from actually taking somebody on to become a part of the Debian community and to extend Debian and to add both to package the extra software that you need, but also to introduce changes that affect not just your organization, but Debian as a whole. You'll find that it runs on a lot more architectures than Windows or most other commercial software, and that makes it easy to deploy the same operating system across a wide range of hardware. It's not just big in the UK, it's big all over the world, and that means that it's been tested by a lot more people than just those maybe testing a particular UK offering. It's one of the most popular distributions. Main thing is that it's built on the same principles as the free software projects that make it up. So that means that there's no commercial company behind it deciding to take it in a particular direction. It goes in the direction in which the whole project is happy with. So what if they're still not convinced, what benefits do you get by installing Debian and free software in your enterprise? You get software which is high quality, which It's built to standards which are open. So I was talking about the BBC case earlier. The software, there is certainly software for streaming audio and video and for viewing it. And it's built around standards which haven't been put together in a closed room, but are open, things like the OGG standard for audio and video, which we're streaming our video on at the moment. Portability as well, you are able to, you're not so dependent on a particular hardware configuration which you have, because Debian will run on such a wide range of hardware. By investing in free software, you get to take part in the direction that the software is taking. On the simplest level, that's just by submitting bug reports and giving feedback to the project. If you are able to invest more into a project, then you can actually implement new features yourselves. To meet your business needs, and by doing that, you can actually get software which works a lot better with your organisation than something which you can than you would have to buy off the shelf. And you're independent of your suppliers, so that means that you're not actually dependent on one particular company. If that company decides to take the software in a direction that you don't want to go, or they decide to stop supporting it, you have the opportunity to go somewhere else and carry on with the system that you have. And that in itself is very important. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't see it until it's too late, until they've been burnt, and they actually want to carry on with a piece of software that's been obsoleted already. Right. I hope that's given you an idea of the sort of reasons why you might want to look at free software in more detail. And do you have any questions?
Yes, I was just going to ask, would you be able to give us an idea of, is it a complete range of size of companies you deal with, or is it mainly large or small, or what have you?
It's medium to large, really. The support that we offer is third level support, so normally we would expect companies to have system administrators on site to do the general sort of stuff. The support that we do is the more detailed problems where, you know, for example, what have I had? OpenOffice not able to do digital signing, stuff where we've actually got to go into the software and find out what's wrong and fix it.
Thank you.
Over at the back.
In the last two talks, we heard a lot of free software and open source software is used in industry. But I think a very important point, which wasn't mentioned, is actually that it generates labor in the area where it's enforced to use, or where people are using it. So do you have any figure? Do you have a number you can say how many positions or how many labor was generated because of the use of open software in the area here?
No, I don't have any figures. We're in contact with a lot of open source companies who are working with open source software, and certainly that would be, I don't know, several hundred people. I would imagine in the UK. Now, I'm seeing a lot more positions in countries like Germany, for example, in Spain as well, where the government is adopting Linux on a much wider scale. Here in the UK, we are people are using free software, but it's not really caught on to the same extent in the economy yet.
Would you say that the number of available positions in the IT market is growing significantly in the last couple of years because of the use of open software?
Growing significantly? Well, probably not, because there's already a big market for jobs for people fixing problems in proprietary software, Windows and so on, and now Linux is actually less labour-intensive to administer. So I don't see it as being a massive increase. What I do see is a change in where the money is going. So instead of software licences being paid to countries outside of the UK, we're seeing people being employed with that money instead.
I was talking about, or I meant the flexibility, which was emphasized in the last two talks open software is offering people. And because of the flexibility, you are able to adapt software. But for adapting software, you need people who do that actually. So is this particular feature of open software increasing the number of jobs?
Well, in that sense, yes. It's increasing the number of jobs in the country, in the place where people are working on the software, as opposed to the jobs being belonging to companies that are writing one piece of software and then selling it to a lot of places all over the world. So yes, there are certainly in open source there are jobs being created for this sort of work.
Yes, I've been told that there is a vast market of new applications that are coming online because of free software. Can you give us any figures on how many different kinds of extra, not the software development, not the software maintenance, but the jobs that are available because of the software being available?
I didn't get you.
Some factory might start turning out some kind of widget because there is free software available, but they would have not done so had there not been the computer power to do it.
Right, and are there people doing that? Yes, I mean, certainly companies like Creditive exist because we are making use of software, of free software. Now, I don't have figures on that exactly. But it's more a case of in countries like the UK where there's not a great deal of software being produced in comparison to the States or whatever, that you're seeing the jobs being created for people to write the software instead of having to administer software. So I see it more as a transition from where people are otherwise employed just to run software, but to become a part of the software creation as well.
Hello, I can give a quick comment about job creation and entrepreneurship and businesses starting. Is the free software that people overlook, such as the web, The web is a product of free software, open standards, you know, and you know, there wouldn't be a dot-com startup, anything without that these tools that these are they're provided here. So, and dot-com stuff is pretty healthy right now. This is where all the innovation's happening. So we can really attribute job creation to that and these tools.
We got the numbers now. We know how much it is. It's 20% of all software services in Europe is free software. It will probably be 30% in 2010, is the EU report showing us from UN University Merit in Netherlands. So you should go to the net, look that up. 68% of new software when made by the industry all over is using free software. So kind of the biggest users of free software is in-house, because most businesses don't make off-the-shelf software. That's just 7%. Most of the free software developers, or the software developers in general, working as consultants or in-house to the business system, banking. We saw the telecom industry here presented today. But this is companies that don't sell their software. You don't see that. They sell something else. They sell services. So it's the tide has turned already. It's what I'm telling the students when I'm traveling around is that when disregarding free software, you say no to 68% of the industry. Are you stupid? So the problem now is basically it's not enough people knowing free software from the universities and colleges. If they disregard, and a lot of teachers have done that, they will actually jeopardize your job opportunities because of the growth of free software.
Great, thanks a lot.
Has there been any interest in desktop rollouts in Britain, or is it just not in the cards for anybody, really?
Yes, there is interest in desktop. In the UK itself, we are seeing some usage. There was a project where quite a large number of desktops in the Scottish police were converted recently. Now that didn't actually take off, and it's gone back again. I think what I mentioned about how the adoption seems to be a few years behind some of the other countries. Now, there are other countries which have had large desktop installations already. And I think that we will certainly get to that stage at some point. But at the moment in the UK, the main area where Linux is growing, I think, on the commercial side is in the server room. But as the software gets better and better, it's people are going to take more note of the desktop as well. I mean, I said about Firefox and OpenOffice. You know, those are big on the Windows desktop, and that makes it a lot easier to move if everyone's already using free software.
And also, Creative in Germany is a reseller for Xandros, I believe. Does that mean that they support the or have a position on the recent agreement with Microsoft?
No, we weren't party to that.
But have you queried it with them at all?
Or I haven't German myself. Not that I'm aware of at this stage. Okay, well, thank you very much.